Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
Hallelujah. God bless each and every one of you. Good morning, Church of the Most High God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. It's happy Easter. It's happy Resurrection Day. It's time to give God some praise because God's been good all the time. And all the time our God's been good. All he did was wake you up this morning. All he did was get you through the pandemic. All he did was continually bless you and bestow gifts upon you. That's all he did. I'm excited to be here today. The Bible says in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. So I'm coming to praise him, and I'm not going to let a rock, hallelujah, cry out for me. Is there anybody there that has anything to praise God for? What did he do for you? Hallelujah. Did he ever do something for you that you couldn't do for yourself? Hallelujah. And to be able to clap your hands, and the Bible says, oh, clap ye your hands. Don't you know that you have to have your mind working with your motor skills? Hallelujah. God enables you to do that. There's somebody right now, unfortunately, that would love to switch places with you. There's somebody right now, hallelujah, that can't clap their hands. There's somebody right now, hallelujah, that can't hear. There's somebody right now that may be mute. There's somebody right now that may not be able to walk. So when God blesses you each and every day, you ought to praise him. You ought to lift him up, and you ought to give him some glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's time to get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. This is our Resurrection Day service, and we're glad to be in it. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter number 27. As you know, all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all, hallelujah, go over the resurrection story. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 27, verses 12 through 37. We're going to read those together, and then we're going to preach out of Luke 24. So Matthew chapter number 27, verses 12 through 37. There's going to be a little bit of reading that we're going to do, but that's going to be all right. Amen. Is it okay to read God's word? That's a good thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you. It's so good to see each and every one of you who have come into the building. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Thank God. Once you found the scripture, if you'd be kind enough to stand to your feet, that would be awesome. Hallelujah. All the smiling faces. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, lift your Bible over your head if you can, and if you like, hallelujah. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. This is God's word unto me. All that it says I am, I am. All that it says I possess, I possess. I thank you, Lord, for your written word. I thank you, Lord. I didn't make up this word, but I believe your word. For you declared in your word that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Remain standing for the reading of the word again. That's Matthew chapter number 27. Hallelujah. Beginning with verse 12 through verse 37. Let's read on the count of three. Quite a bit of reading, but it's going to be all right. One, two, three, let us read. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they then had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom ye will that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto him, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took off the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon thy vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. You may be seated in this place. Hallelujah. All those in the outer corridor, we ask that they be allowed to come into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. We're going to get in a position and a posture and an attitude of prayer after everyone is seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We lift you high, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We celebrate your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this morning's rising, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you got us on our way, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the people, Lord, that you've sent to come in the building, for those, Lord, on Facebook and those on YouTube, Lord, and even those, Lord, who will listen to the podcast later on. And Father God, we just thank you for all those blessings that you've bestowed unto us, Lord. Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us through your scripture, Lord, that everybody might have an accurate view and an accurate account, Lord, of what transpired in the life of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, in advance for what you're going to do, O Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would bind the enemy, Lord, that would try to hinder this service, Father. Bind him in the name of Jesus. Rebuke him, O Lord, that we might be able, O Father God, to lift our heads up high and know that all our help continually comes from you. Father God, we thank you also, O Father God, for the entrance of your word, Lord. And we pray, O Father God, that the word might help somebody, Lord, that somebody, Father God, might be encouraged, somebody might be healed, and somebody might be helped. And Father God, we give you all the praise and honor and glory for all you have done, all you will do, and all you're doing in our midst. These and all the other blessings we ask in our darling son Jesus' name, and we pray, amen and thank God. Hallelujah. The resurrection. But before the resurrection, we need to dive into the Word of God to understand what is the meaning, hallelujah, of Christ coming to earth. There's some information that most of us know, but we're going to talk about it so that everybody can be on the same page. We know that the first man was Adam, hallelujah, and sin came into the world through Adam. And then we know that the first man, Christ Jesus, came into the world that he might do what? That he might provide his blood on Calvary's cross for the remission of sins. And up until Jesus came down to earth, and we know that we call him the incarnate Christ because the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And Jesus is the Word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The selfsame in the beginning was God. There was nothing made that was not made by him. And so you understand that Jesus is the Word. And even though he was born through a new womb in Mary, we understand the fact that he was always, hallelujah, the Word. And so we see back in the Old Testament, saints, that, hallelujah, that we had to deal with this thing called sin. And we had to deal with sin, which is transgression of the law or not doing what God has told us to do because of Adam. Because mankind was in the loins of Adam. And so when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, their children were already sinners. And that's why the Bible can say in Psalm 51 that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so we had a problem on our hands. But how many of you know that God already knew before the foundation of the earth that men would sin? And so therefore what he did with this, what he did was he allowed mankind to continue to live by having them take the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, hallelujah, that the life of the flesh is in the blood in order to make atonement for our souls. And so that's how mankind continued to live, because remember he told Adam, he said, in the day that you sin, you shall die. And so he rose up Moses to get the tablets hewn in stone by the very finger of God, which we call the Ten Commandments. But how many of you know that nobody could keep the law? They couldn't do it because there was no law that addressed the spirit. But the law, hallelujah, gave, hallelujah, or was a schoolmaster to bring individuals to Christ. The Bible said through the law came, thank you, Holy Ghost, the knowledge of sin. And so the law showed what we should do and what we should not do. But from an Old Testament perspective, the Bible talks about different sins that man would put his hand upon. And how many of you know that there's none that's good? No, not one. No, no, no. And you can look at yourself and you can say, well, I'm a good person, because people like to defer to that. But the question becomes, you're a good person according to what standard? We know that the only standard that's acceptable is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when we mess up, how many of you know that when you break one part of the law, you are a law breaker? And so what God did was that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but what? But have everlasting life. So we had Jesus that was born in a manger. Hallelujah. Against all types of odds. We know that King Herod wanted to kill him, but God is so good, hallelujah, that he was not going to allow his son to die before the time. When Jesus, hallelujah, went to the wilderness, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. He contended with the devil by simply utilizing the Word of God, because he was the Word of God. And then after that, he did miracles. First miracle being done in the wedding at Cana. And after that, the ministry was launched. Hallelujah. Jesus was about the age of 30. And at about the age of 30, when he was doing ministry, he went around healing those that were oppressed of the devil. In fact, the Bible exclaims in Acts chapter number 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But now we get into the time that, hallelujah, that the church folk of that day, talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were always trying to trick Jesus. They were always trying to trip him up because they didn't believe that he was a keeper of the law. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah or the anointed one. Hallelujah. Because you have to understand, church, Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so that brings us, hallelujah, to today. It brings us to the fact that we know that Jesus Christ was betrayed by one of his own, one of his disciples in Judas. And he told him at the infamous Last Supper, he said, what you do, do it quickly. We know that Jesus was sold out by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And what Judas was to do was to identify him at the right time that they, the chief priests and, hallelujah, the soldiers might capture him. So when we read in the scriptures, hallelujah, and we didn't went now from the Old Testament to New, when we read in the scriptures all together, we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ was brutalized. Now, I got to say this, hallelujah. We see in 2022, we still see individuals who are brutalized, hallelujah, by the police. Oh, I feel God in here. Let me go somewhere and we will. Hallelujah. There are still people who are brutalized by the police, hallelujah, when they have not really done or committed any crime. How many of you know that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he was brutalized by Roman soldiers? You heard about what happened. You heard that they spat upon him. You heard that they made a plait of thorns, hallelujah, that they put upon his head. Can you imagine that? Thorns pressed upon your head, which would cause bleeding. We know that they hit him with rods. They did all types of abominable things to him, and we know that he received canine tails, which is he got whipped as well. And so when you see what Christ did for us in going and getting to the place of the skull, Golgotha, we know that Christ went through hell. He went through a lot just so that mankind could be saved. And so let's get into the word of God. We're going to go to the book of Luke real quick. Luke chapter number 24. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 24. But before that, let's just talk about some of the last things that Christ said when he made it to Calvary's cross. But before he made it to the cross, we know that on the way on going up to Calvary, we know that Simon, hallelujah, the Cyrenian, he came and he assisted him. Hallelujah. How many of you know that for those of us who are alive today, if we're going to be like Jesus, the Bible says if any man's going to come after me, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Everybody has a cross to bear. And so today it's not about looking at your neighbor. It's about looking inwardly. And what did the resurrection mean to you? What did the Calvary experience mean to you? We know that when Jesus went to Calvary, we know that they drove nails or spikes in his hand and in his feet. My God, he took punishment for us. And then they lifted him up on high to be, hallelujah, hanged upon a tree, the Bible calls it. But we know that when he was on Calvary's cross, there were seven sayings that he had. We're going to go through them real briefly. We know that he said, Father, forgive them, hallelujah, for they know not what they do. And I want you to see the depth of the compassion and the grace that Jesus has for us. Hallelujah. Even when we don't do right unto him, he loves us so much, hallelujah. And he loves mankind so much that he says, Father, spare them. Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that if we're Christians, we ought to adopt the same type of premise, the same type of attitude? We know that people do sin against us. We know that people do persecute against us. But how many of you would understand the fact, hallelujah, that we need to forgive? Hallelujah. Because the Bible says if we don't forgive folks who have trespassed against us, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us because we've certainly trespassed against him. So he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In another section of the Bible, you need to understand the fact that if the devil knew what would happen, hallelujah, he never would have had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords destroyed. Because now, hallelujah, we know that Jesus has all power in the world. Hallelujah. Power in heaven and in earth. Somebody needs to understand that, because somebody believes in oneness. But understand the fact that the Trinity, even though the word's not in the Bible, it is represented. Because when Jesus was baptized, we know that Jesus is the second in the Godhead. We know that the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. That's the third in the Godhead. And we know that the Father said from heaven, hallelujah, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. All three operating, hallelujah, in the Godhead, operating in and as one through unity. But the Bible indicated that he had other sayings when he was up on Calvary's cross. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today, hallelujah, you want to be with me in paradise. He was talking to the malefactors. Now, when I was reading yesterday, we know, hallelujah, that when he was on Calvary's cross, that the people around, that they were jeering, jabbing at him, meaning not physically, but with their mouth, saying, why don't you come down and get down off of that cross? How many of you know that sometimes when you go through some of the toughest things in life, some people are there to bury you? Is there anybody here that when you were down, somebody tried to put their foot upon your neck? Hallelujah. When you weren't doing good, someone said, I told you so. That's what was happening to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible even says in two of the accounts, that the thieves, plural, that were next to him, that they were talking about him. But I'm so glad that you can come to your senses, and one of the ones, to the right of him, he actually had faith, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, was going to be able to go into paradise or to his kingdom. And so he said, Jesus, hallelujah, when you go to your kingdom, remember me. Isn't it good that all it takes is for God to say, okay, you're going to be with me, that you don't have to worry about the things you're going through? I feel like preaching in here. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that God has so much grace, hallelujah, that when you have faith in him, hallelujah, you can get to heaven. You got to understand that that thief, hallelujah, was strategic, and that the thief was on the cross prior to Christ's death. We know that the formula to get saved is, if thou shalt what, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so we have to believe, hallelujah, that he is the Christ, and we have to believe, hallelujah, that God has raised him from the dead. Now, the thief was there before Jesus even died, but he had faith in Christ, because you got to understand, under the old covenant, hallelujah, it's still salvation, hallelujah, via the grace of God through faith, because you had to believe God in order to be saved. The Bible says, hallelujah, with regards to Abraham, that Abraham believed God, and unto him it was imputed righteousness. So belief in God got you a ticket to go to Abraham's bosom, which is part of paradise. I feel like preaching here. And so what are we saying here? We're saying here that God is so good, that if you believe in him, he has a place for you. Do I have anybody who is a witness? Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God is here for us. I'm so glad that God said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you some rest. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that both thieves had the opportunity to express their faith in Christ, but only one did so? How many of you know that everybody can be up underneath the word of God? One person might respond positively, and someone might stay in the same state that they're in. Oh, come on. It happens in your household if you tell the truth. Hallelujah. Mama or daddy can give a directive. If you have more than one child might do right, and the other one might do wrong. Ain't that just how it is? My goodness, even when you think about the children of Israel, you got to understand, we all came from one family, because when the earth was wiped out by a flood, it's all about Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the parents, Noah and his wife. And so you know that Abraham, which would represent the called out children of God, we know that through Abraham's lineage, then we have, hallelujah, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And through Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, and that's where we get the children of Israel, but they all came through the line of Shem. But what about Japheth and their line? What about Ham and their line? Those were individuals that were outside, hallelujah, the covenant that God made, because the covenant was made through the line of Shem, specifically with promises given through God through Abraham. I feel God in here. You need to understand that. And so as we look in the Bible, hallelujah, and we go to Luke chapter number 24, understand we're going to start in verse 44. But Jesus also said when he was on the cross, he said, "Woman, behold thy son," hallelujah. And then he said, hallelujah, to the son, "Behold thy mother." Now we know that at Calvary's cross, when he was speaking, Jesus was speaking to the one who he loved. And we know that the that's mentioned that he loved, he's talking about John. And so it's so good because the Lord knew that he was going to be departing, hallelujah, from being there in Jerusalem via death. And he wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of. Am I talking to somebody? Hallelujah. Because sometimes you're in a position where you can make sure that there's a healthy handoff in your parents, hallelujah, being okay. God had enough of compassion to know that his earthly mother would need some help. And the Bible says that from that day going forward, that she had residence with John. Isn't it good when your family members understand the fact, hallelujah, and have enough respect and honor for you that they make sure that you're going to be good if they're going away? Hallelujah. And so there's not an unturned stone in dealing with Christ on Calvary's cross. He's still doing things, hallelujah, that normal men probably would not do. Then he says, my God, why hast thou what forsaketh me? And because that was the only occasion I can tell within the word, check me if I'm wrong, that when the father, hallelujah, turned away from the son. Because how many of you know that Jesus was the sin offering? The Bible said he was made sin, but you need to understand in that word made sin, there was no sin in him. He was an offering for sin. You need to understand that at that time it was time for the Passover, and we know the Passover was to be celebrated in Jerusalem, and we understand that the Passover, it indicated a time when it was originated and instituted that God, hallelujah, would send the devourer to kill the very firstborn of man and beast in Egypt. My God. But God said for his children, for his called out ones, this is how you can escape the plague that was going to come. He said, I need you to kill a goat without spot and without blemish. And I need you to take the blood from that goat, hallelujah, and place it upon what? Hallelujah. All upon your door, right? Hallelujah. So because I'm going to send that death angel, that devourer. And that's what he did around midnight. But if you have blood upon the door, then guess what? That devourer, that death sentence would pass you on by. Henceforth came the Passover. Well, what the people of God didn't understand was that Jesus was, hallelujah, the Passover lamb. Because when you look at the account, hallelujah, we find out on that particular Friday that we call Good Friday, the Bible says, hallelujah, at about the third hour, they began to take him to court. Because of that third hour, the hour starts at 6 a.m. That means at 9 a.m., Jesus was in court. We know that he went to see the high priest Caiaphas. We know that he went then to see, my goodness, Pilate. We know that Pilate said, wait a minute, he's a Galilean. So that's up to you guys. So he sent them on back to another court. And then they said, wait a minute, it's the Passover. We ain't allowed to kill nobody. We're going to put it back in your court. My goodness. All of that transpiring in one day. But how many of you know that God is so good that even with Pilate, Pilate's wife said, don't you have nothing to do with him, because I done had a dream about him. Hallelujah. You need to leave him alone. And so Pilate, not once, not twice, but three times did he appeal to the high priest and to the other Pharisees there and the church folk there. Three times he said, I can't find any fault in him. But how many of you know that when somebody wants to bury you, it. They're going to continue to try to bury you. How many of you know that there were a lot of false witnesses that came against Christ Jesus? How many of you know that God's will was going to be done? Pilate said, I'm going to wash my hands of him. Hallelujah. Hope you're following on with the story. But when he did that, he said, who shall I release? Because every year around the Passover time, he could release one person back and let that person go. You got to know Barabbas. He was a part of the insurrection. Barabbas, he was a murderer, but Jesus did nothing. But we know that the priests, hallelujah, and we know that the church folk of the time, they convinced the crowd that they might be able to have Barabbas be released and Jesus be crucified. And then they had enough nerve, my God, to say, let his blood be upon us and our children. Now, if you look at what goes on even in Israel today, they don't like being called Christ killers. I feel Jesus in here. But the scripture is real. The Roman soldiers had sin, but Jesus said the greater sin is not you who doing this to me, but it's you. Hallelujah. It's those individuals that sent me to you. I feel God here. And so that's why when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we're talking about a man that loves. Hallelujah. Because only love can cause you to want to steal, not give vengeance on your people that are construed as being your enemy. A couple more and we're going to roll. The Bible says here that he says, hallelujah, I thirst. That meant, hallelujah, that his human needs were still intact. See, the one thing that made Jesus, hallelujah, the ultimate sacrifice is that he was 100% man and 100% God. Hallelujah. He's still thirsty. Hallelujah. And that tells us that we can identify with Jesus because he had natural appetites just like a regular man. He said, I thirst. And they gave him something to drink. And so his body was calling out in anguish. He was hanging there on Calvary's cross. Had nails in his hand. Spikes and nails in his feet. My God, he was going through. Oh, I can't even imagine going through anything like that. Hallelujah. Now we know that some people, they try to reenact through stigmata. They'll do things, hallelujah, to try to reenact what Christ went through. But how many of you know what we go through is only a light affliction because Christ had the world against him. Christ was carrying and bearing the sins of the world on his back. So don't ever think, hallelujah, that what you're going through is on the same level with Jesus. Don't even go there. Because you might call yourself a martyr, but you got to understand that what Christ went through was more devastating than anybody has ever gone through in the face of this world. My God. And then he said, hallelujah, the six things he said, Father, unto you I commend my spirit. That meant that, wait a minute now. They said, Father, he understood the fact that the Lord was the one that raised him up and gave him life on this side, even though he was alive in heaven, and he would be the one, hallelujah, that when he would lay his life down, that the Lord would be instrumental. When I say the Lord, I'm talking about the Father. I'm talking about Abba Father. And so he says, I'm going to commend my spirit unto you. That means, hallelujah, I understand that in normal cases, the body goes into the ground from the dust that it's made, but then the spirit and the soul go back to the one who gave it, which is God. Now, Jesus was made just a little bit different because he was made, hallelujah, through the bema seed, through the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost and the seed of the Holy Ghost that caused him to be an embryo and zygote in the womb of Mary. Hallelujah. But the last thing he said before we get into Luke 24 was, he said, it is finished. What was finished? What was finished was the business that it started. Remember when he was a young man, about 12 years old. Hallelujah. When he went and he was teaching and learning and listening to the doctors of the law in the temple. Remember, his parents couldn't find him. But remember when they doubled back and they finally found him and they were upset with him. What are you doing? He said, don't you know that I'm about my Father's business? I feel God in here. And so what was finished? What was finished was the thing that it started. He started off in his Father's business. And then guess what? When it's finished, what did he finish? He finished all the business that the Father gave him to do. He finished the business of healing the blind. He finished the business business, hallelujah, of telling that woman at the well that you had five husbands and the one you got right now, my God, that ain't one of them. Oh, my goodness. He finished all the business that God had gave him to do. How many of you know when your business with God is finished, it's time for you to go to the next level, to be absent from this body, is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. And so now we know that he died on Calvary's cross. I know it's a lot of information, but I got to tell you the story. When he died on Calvary's cross, you got to understand the fact that he was buried in a brand new tomb, a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. So he came in the world in a brand new womb, and then he came out and went in a brand new tomb. We understand that they put a large stone in front of the tomb. You got to understand that Joseph of Arimathea, that was his stone. I feel God in here. But what they did was they did not want the disciples to go and steal the body, because the enemy always thinks that somebody's going to do something underhanded. But what did they do? They sealed the stone. But how many of you know you can keep things locked tight? You can keep things bound up. When God is ready for you to come out, honey, can't nothing stop you. When God is ready for you to come forth, ain't no stone going to be in your way. They rolled away the stone. An earthquake happened. Angel came down, blew the doors off the door of that particular tomb. And we know what happened, because in the 3 days between Friday and when Jesus rose, the Bible says that he went down to the lower parts of the earth. And what did he do, saints? We know that he ministered unto those who were there. You got to know that he snatched the keys of death and hell and the grave from the devil. You got to know that he went down in Abraham's bosom, paradise, hallelujah, and set the captives free. You got to know what he did, yeah? That same Jesus Christ, that's what he did, because he snatched the devil's keys. You got to let folk go. Hallelujah. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? That's what Christ did. Hallelujah. Don't you know that when he was raised from the dead, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible said there was one instance where over 500 people saw him at once. Don't you know that when he resurrected, graves were opened up all in Jerusalem. People who were dead were walking around. Hallelujah, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you know that when he died, the veil in the temple, it got rent in two? It used to be the fact that only the high priest could go once a year into the Holy of Holies to make, hallelujah, atonement by bringing the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. But not so anymore, because we know that Jesus Christ, when he died, that veil rent. That meant that anybody, hallelujah, can go to the Holy of Holies, because we ride off of the blood of Jesus. Jesus did not go, hallelujah, to the Holy of Holies through the sanctuary that was built by man, but my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ went to the real Holy of Holies, the real, hallelujah, because what God made down here through man was just a semblance. It was just a shadow. That's why he was exact in what he told him to do. But when Jesus died, he went to heaven. He went to the real holies of holies. And when the work was done, he sat down next to the Father, making intercession for you and me. He went through all that, and you don't want to come to church. He went through all that, and you don't want to ask for forgiveness of your sins. He went through all of that, and you won't praise him. He went through all of that for you, for me. What love would a man do and give so that people could be free? Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. And we got to praise him. The Bible said that after he resurrected, that he was here for 40 days. His disciples, closest ones to him, they weren't even trying to go to the tomb. Thank God for Mary Magdalene. He healed her from 7 devils. It ain't how you start. It's how you finish. You better watch who you say is full of the devil. They may be the one that God's favor rests upon. First one at the tomb with the other Mary, son of Joseph, mother of Joseph, Salome. The ladies showed up when the disciples forsook him and fled. The ladies showed up when the men were nowhere to be found. Don't you dog no woman, because they were the first ones to carry this word back to disciples. But when Mary carried the word back to disciples, they still didn't believe. It took Peter running to the tomb. Him and the one Jesus loved, Peter and John, racing to the tomb. John got there first. He got there first, but he was peeking in. He ain't going in. He looked in. He ain't seen nobody. Then Peter came in, and Peter went in first and saw the napkin he had around his head laying on the side, grave clothes aside, because you can't hold my Savior down. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He was the first begotten of those who would die, that would never be subject to death again. You say, well, what about Lazarus? He died and then God rose up, but Lazarus died again. Jesus was the only one who ever died, God rose up again to never be subjected to death again. And so finally the disciples start to believe, but there's always a doubting Thomas in the house. Because when Jesus showed up, hallelujah, Doubting Thomas wasn't at the meeting. They told him all about it, that Jesus lives. He didn't believe it. He said, I got to see them nail prints. I got to take my finger and put them in the hole. I got to see, hallelujah. I remember when they jabbed him in the side and there without came water and blood. I got to see that first. God said, hallelujah, when he showed up the next time. Thomas was there and he said, my Lord, my God. But how many of you know, he said, hallelujah, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We're here today. We believe without seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. God has been good to us through Christ and his resurrection. And resurrection just means that anything that's dead has to be made alive. Know the plan of God. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's why whatever we do, we can't get to the Father unless we go through the Son. To us is given the ministry of reconciliation. God is not mad at us. God wants to love us even more, that we might accept what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And that's going to happen for an age. Jesus is in control. And then guess what? When he puts the very last enemy under his feet, which is death, he's going to hand the keys of the kingdom back to the Father, that God the Father might be all in all. You got to understand, Jesus got the keys right now. That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, and beneath earth, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's the plan of salvation. But understand, it's important, appointed to man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Are you ready? Hallelujah. We're going to end in a minute. I finally get to the verses I'm about to preach. The Bible says here in Luke 24, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you. This is after Jesus had already risen. He said, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. That's what Jesus did. He is the fulfillment of the law. Don't let anybody trick you. Some people will say that he is only the sacrificial laws are gotten away with, but the other laws have to be obeyed. You got to understand something. There's a new covenant. Ooh, there's a new covenant. Hallelujah. With better promises in it. Can I go there for a minute? I'll preach about it another day, but we got to go there for a minute. You need to read. Read up on Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10, and you'll find out that it's a better covenant. In order to have a covenant, we're talking about a covenant is like a will, but you know that you can draft a will while you're alive, but it does not take effect until you die. A field God in here. So what God did was, when he gave the old covenant, he gave that old covenant through, hallelujah, Moses when he went on Mount Sinai. But in order for the covenant to be ratified, something has to die. And that's why they killed bulls and goats and sheep, hallelujah. And they took that blood and they sprinkled it upon the mercy seat for the atonement, hallelujah, of the souls of the people. That was old covenant. But you got to understand that old covenant was weak in that people could not perform it. The old covenant was weak in that it never talked about the Holy Ghost. The old covenant was weak in that it never told you how to get eternal life. But that old covenant was a schoolmaster, I told you before, to bring you to Christ Jesus. But through Christ, there's a better covenant. Mm-hmm. It's like a will. He drafted up the will. But the will can't not be instituted until the person who wrote the will dies. When Jesus died, you got to understand, now that new covenant is in effect. What is the new covenant? It used to be that God wrote upon with his finger, hewn in skull, the very law. We know that Ezra and other scribes would read the law, would write down the law. But there's a better covenant now, because God said, I'm going to write this word upon your heart. I'm going to put my law in your mind. I feel like busted in here. You got to understand this a lot better, because before, we had to wait and be reminded of our sin once per year, just like Yom Kippur. Once a year, atonement would be made that people would be reminded of their sin. But when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, he only died one time. You ain't got to be reminded of your sin, because all your sins been washed away. Yes, all your sins have been washed away. You don't have to be reminded of the things you're going through. You don't have to go crazy. Know that past sins, present sins, future sins are all under the blood. And for us, understand that sin has no dominion over us. When we sin now, it's by choice. Ooh. Can you live sin free? Yup. If you yield to the Holy Ghost daily. I feel Jesus in here. He said everything must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. If you take the law of Moses, if you take the books of the prophets, and you take the Psalms, guess what? You got the entire Old Testament, don't you? Everything was pointed towards him. Not just sacrificial laws or ceremonial laws. They fulfilled everything. You got to understand it. The Bible said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's verse 45. 46 says, and they said unto him, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. He rose on that third day with all power in his hand. He was the Passover lamb. He died on Friday. Some people debated, but read the scriptures. I can give you two or three, hallelujah, scriptures that identify that he died on a Friday, because Friday was a day of preparation. That's when you would prepare for the Sabbath. But how many of you know that when he died, he was being prepared to be, hallelujah, prepared to be the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. But the Bible said early on the first day of the week, that Sunday morning, that he rose up with all power in his hand. I feel God in here, because I know weeping doth endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. Hallelujah. They celebrated the Sabbath day rest, but some of them didn't know that Jesus was going to rise up, hallelujah, and do what the Father called him to do. Now, in between time, I told you he was ministering. That was his spirit. But how many of you know that when your spirit comes back into your body, you're alive. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not a ghost. Handle me and see. I'm not a ghost. You see, I got nail holes here. Nail holes in my feet. Hallelujah. But the Bible says here in verse 47, we're almost finished. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in whose name? In his name. Because he has a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Among all nations. Because beginning at Jerusalem. That's why we had to wait to Jerusalem. They had to wait. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's all right. The Bible says, and ye are witnesses of these things. The disciples played an important role. They started off in unbelief, but now how many of you know again, it's not how you start off, it's how you finish. You might not believe, but then once you start to believe, all those things you didn't believe won't be held against you. Am I talking about a God that will give you more than one chance? Am I talking about a God who will fill you up with grace and mercy and loving kindness? The Bible said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't you sit on the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. The Holy Ghost is your guide. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is important because the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in those who believe. Hallelujah. Believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the Lord himself will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'll fill you with the Spirit of God. And in fact, the Bible says at that day of Pentecost that at the last days he's going to pour his Spirit out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. People going to be prophesying. People going to be dreaming dreams, having visions. That's what God did. He erected, hallelujah, the church. Hallelujah. They were first called Christians at the city of Antioch, right? They were Christ. Hallelujah. That means I'm not above you. You ain't above me. We all got a right to the tree of life through the Spirit of God. We all got a right to go down on our knees and pray to God. Hallelujah. I'm a glorified cheerleader. I've been called to preach the word, but the body got many functions. Somebody's an encourager. You ought to give God some praise. Somebody's a giver. You ought to thank God for that gift. Somebody's an apostle. You dwell in the apostolic. You need to shout glory. Somebody's an evangelist. You go from city to city and you tell somebody, you tell the dead world about a living Savior. Somebody's a teacher. God's given you a teaching gift where you can break down the word. What I'm saying is, no matter what gift you operate in, somebody speaks in tongues. Another one interprets tongues. Another one gets a word of knowledge. Another one gets a word of wisdom. Another one prophesies. Another one works in healings. Another one is able to discern spirits, no matter what your gift is. How many of you know it's all working in the body? We got to get along as a body. We can't be children no more, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You got to be steady and stand on the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to give God some praise. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say what Deacon Taylor would say. Deacon Taylor would say, so that God's name can be known. That's all it's about, that God wants his name to be known. That's why he caused Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, so God's name could be known. That's why he allowed his only begotten son to be on Calvary's cross, so that God's name can be known. God wants you to know who he is. It's a better covenant, because in this covenant, you'll read it for yourself. I told you, read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. In this covenant, he's going to put his word on our heart. He's going to put his word on our mind. And guess what? We will be his God, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. Hallelujah. And it has a great little verse, and it tells you, you don't have to go tell somebody about learning about God, because God is going to make himself known to you. Oh my God. We got to go. The Bible says, wait till you get power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, you shall have power in Acts 1:8. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Guess what? In Jerusalem, because that's where they got to wait. Then Judea, Jerusalem is within Judea, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. How can God get this word to the uttermost parts of the earth? By using the devil to persecute believers, to cause them to scatter. But the same way that God confounded the languages at Babel, hear this, because the people were building up something that wasn't in him, and he scattered them. But now God uses scattering to spread his word. But there is going to be a day, a reckoning, when he calls out all those believers, come on home, come to glory. So what do you do now? You occupy or wait until he comes. Make sure you got oil in your lamp. Hallelujah. Be prepared for his coming. You say, well, I was little and they said he was coming. Yep, and he's still coming. Why is it taking so long? You got to understand that blindness in part is happening to Israel. I feel like preaching. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The original Jew, they rejected him. They crucified him. But that was good news for everybody else. Because when those branches fell off, those who believed in the gospel, those branches can be engrafted in. But it said you better be careful. Because the same way those original branches fell off because of unbelief, if you stop believing, you're going to fall off too. That's why Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Oh, my God. Therefore, which laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Make it to the end. Keep the faith. It's all about faith in Christ Jesus. That's all it's about. You say, well, I didn't get a chance to produce no works. When you believed in Christ, that was producing a work. Your first work is belief. Y'all don't mess with me. You might say I didn't give at the shelter. You might say I never helped a little old lady cross the street. You might say I never had a chance to tithe. It's all right. Because when you believe in the finished work of Jesus, that was your work. And now the work will get you in. Because faith without works is dead. But my God, when you believe in God, your belief, hallelujah, faith in God alone gets you in. And tell somebody about it. Tell somebody how good he is. We got to go. He said he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They watched that man. He said, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. He turned sorrow into joy and were continually in the temple doing what? Praising and blessing God. And guess what? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to continually praise and bless God. It's the end of our message. We got to go now. But I wanted somebody, I know it was a lot of information, but I wanted you to see from Genesis up until 2022, the Bible speaks of Christ. You can't come to the Father but by him. You can't name, I don't care if you name Muhammad or anybody else. They didn't die for your sins. And they were a man. And a man's blood is tainted with sin. And the only offering acceptable is someone who never sinned. But you say, well, I can't be like Jesus. Shut your mouth. Don't you understand that we're supposed to have the mind of Christ? Don't you understand that Jesus can identify with us? Nah, he was Jesus. You hear people using sellout comments like that. Understand that Jesus was tempted in all ways. But yet without sin. He showed us in the wilderness how to handle temptation. We got to stand on, believe on, and don't depart from the word of God. We have to know what is written. Open up that book. We're on a journey, hallelujah, reading the Bible chronologically once a day. It ain't that taxing. For the time you drink a cup of coffee, you're finished with today's particular reading. It's been a blessing to me, and I'm nobody special. It can be a blessing to you. You don't have to follow us. You might want to read where God tells you to read, but get into a devotional study. Get into the word of God. The word is quick. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You got stuff going on in your house. You need to get in the word. You got stuff going on in your family. You need to pray. We need to talk with God. We need to commune with God. We need to be with God in his presence. Don't let a day go by that you don't strive to get in his presence. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from being what God called you to be. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to leave. Anything that's dead around God, God can bring back to life. You might be in a dead relationship right now. Your love for your spouse, it might be dying on the vine, but it can be, hallelujah, uplifted. It can be resurrected. You might not have a good relationship with your kids, but guess what? God can resurrect it. Hallelujah. You might be in between jobs, but guess what? God can make your next job opportunity be alive. God is able. And in the meantime, all you got to know is they that wait upon the Lord shall what? You're going to renew your strength. You'll be able to mount up with wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. And when you're running, honey, guess what? Hallelujah. You can run, you won't get weary. And even if you stop running and walk, you ain't gonna faint. That means you're not gonna stop. And if I'm not stopped, what am I doing? I'm continuing to move. And if I'm continuing to move, what I'm doing? I'm walking in order steps. And if I'm walking in order steps, what am I doing? Who am I going towards? I'm like a deer panting after water, going after God. Why is that? Because when we go after God, if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. That means one step closer to him means he's stepping closer to you. Hallelujah. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what the resurrection is all about. He didn't resurrect so you can sit on your blessed assurance. He resurrected that you might have life and life more abundantly, that you might be able to do everything that he called you to do. Why? Because we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created to produce good works. That's good stuff. Because when you produce a good work, you let your light shine. And guess what? A city that's set upon a hill cannot be hidden. You don't take a candle and put it up underneath a bushel. You put it on top of the light stand so that everybody can see. I feel like preaching again. God is so good. We ought to praise him. Praise him for life. Praise him for health. Praise him. You say, my health is failing, so why should I praise him? Understand. A believer gets healed either on this side or the other side. Convince me and show me where there's sickness in heaven. Ain't now. Hallelujah. Lady J, you got something else to say?
Amen. We thank everybody for coming out today. We thank you. Have a happy, happy resurrection day. But we don't want to leave, and we would be remiss without giving everybody an opportunity to get it right, to accept Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. If you know that you need the Lord, if you want to take a moment to just ask the Lord forgiveness so that you can start over, that you can start a refresh, we're asking those at home or anyone in the congregation to repeat after me. But as Pastor makes his way to the back, because he wants to shake and greet everybody's hands, hallelujah, we're going to go ahead and lead in this prayer. Thank you, Jesus. If we could all stand to our feet, hallelujah. Heads bound to the bow down to the mother's dust and our hearts up to the Lord. Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. Lord, you said in your word that if I confess Christ, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived 33 years, that he died for our sins, that if I confess that, believing it in my heart, that he rose again, that I would be saved. Father, I confess with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. If you believed it and you received it, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Hallelujah. We're going to ask that you.
We got We have a first-time visitor.
All right, we want to thank all of our visitors for coming out. We're going to introduce our first-time visitor. But we want everyone to just make sure that they greet the pastor. So, sweetheart, what's your name?
Good morning, Real Gospel. Good morning, Pastor T, Lady J. My name is Denise Morrison Clay.
Amen. I know that name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey, this is Denise Morrison Clay. I recognized that picture. But you know, so small.
My Easter, my Resurrection Day cooking. Mm-hmm. I did everything I needed to do. I started yesterday, finished up this morning for my family, and I said, now I got to do something for myself. I'm going to Real Gospel.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That is such a blessing. See, Facebook, she came to Real Gospel. So now, see, we met her in Cyberland, and now we can see her in real life. And I got to tell you, she's just as beautiful in person as she is in that little bitty circle that they show you. Wow. You'd be like, do I really know that person? I can't even think place who that is. But I thank God. It's a pleasure to meet you. Pastor, if you're beginning
but
to
do you know the
people,
bigger news? The bigger news is she already cooked her Easter Resurrection Day. So we all going over Denise's house. Come on, somebody give some praise.
All right, Pastor, come on, go to the back, Pastor. Want to shake everybody's hand.
All right, let me get my mask.
You're going to get your mask. All right. Yeah. So again, remember, if you like your church, like them on Facebook. If you like Real Gospel, like us on Facebook. Show us some love. And if you tolerate me, officially Lady J, go to my page and show me some love and hit the little thumbs button and like me too. All right, so we got Mother's
Day. And if they don't like you, keep it to yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, if you don't like me, keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. But if I'm doing too much, pull my coattail. You can reach me in the DMs and pray for me. All right, so we're going to start exiting from the back. Pastor will be greeting everybody again on Facebook. You all have a wonderful, blessed, safe Easter Sunday.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual, they are not carnal.